The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is The Voice. Do we have a problem with the mic?
You're just coming in very low.
Okay, well, is that better now?
That's better.
All right, there you go, folks. Right out of the chute. Well, I'm going to start over. Welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. There you go. Now, loud and clear. Now, where did I leave off? Oh, tonight we have with us over there Pastor Joe.
Yes, your country pumpkin pastor, they're ready to go to work.
All right, country bumpkin, and we have, well, who do we have on the board tonight? Is it the courageous one?
Yes, it is. Good evening.
Good evening. All right, listen, we got to get going here now. Joe, people kept asking me time and time again, where's the pastors? Don't they believe anymore? They're losing. It seems like the pastors really don't even hold to the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. Where is their courage? Have you heard that, Joe?
Sure have. Part of it, you and I told them quite a while back, that remember that old George Barna survey that 49% of the pastors surveyed did not believe in two or more of the five basic tenets of the Christian faith, and that was several years ago. So that's what's happened to the pastors. If they don't believe in the tenets of the Christian faith, then they're merely hirelings, not pastors, and we're losing real pastors pass away, and the others are hirelings.
All righty, so now, but there are some good news on that front, because I'm being invited by groups like the Liberty Pastors Group, and which are groups of pastors that are coming together doing what we did years ago. And actually, I got invited to come and attend a workshop so they could teach me to do what I've been doing for the last 50 years. And so,
wonderful intentions, but yeah. Where were they when we were at the Shake the Nation conferences going across the country trying to wake up the church?
Yeah.
And we found out you can't wake the dead.
It's got to be the Holy Spirit's got to do it, got to move, huh?
The Holy Spirit has to do it. And some of the churches are dead, and I don't think they're ever going to revive. So we pray new ones.
We're living exactly as God's Word, the Bible, said it would be. It's exactly the way. In fact, we're going to take a look this morning in 1 Peter. But before we do that, we've already got three prayer requests. And so we have a lady named Faith Brady. She is pregnant, and she has some physical ailments and that. So we're asked to pray for her, for her baby and delivery. So would you pray for Faith?
Sure. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, this is one of those areas, you know, that my wife and I were working with pregnancy crisis centers, and for years, maternity homes and mothers are very important. And here's a young mother with these health problems, and I don't have any idea who she is or what's wrong, but Lord, you know everything about her. You know everything about the baby she's carrying. You know all their futures. So we would hold up faith to you, and that calling in for prayer, she must have faith to ask for help. So, Lord, we would just implore you just to reach out and just bless her in every conceivable way, Lord, that you would heal her body, you would strengthen her, you would assist the doctors in knowing what to do to help, whichever you choose to do, that, you know, this child would be delivered and the mother would be safe and well, and it would glorify you. We would just, so many children are destroyed and murdered that when mothers want children, Lord, we want to save each and every one possible. So we just ask you to cover Faith, bless her, heal her, strengthen her, and we just thank you, Father, for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, I'm going to pray for Pastor Fred, who has been my associate pastor for probably 40 years.
Yeah.
And Pastor Fred right now, he had heart failure, and he is going to undergo, first of all, he's going to undergo, I'm trying to think of the name of the procedure, catheterization of both sides of his heart. And then, I will know from there what happens from that point. But anyhow, so let's pray for Pastor Fred. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold Pastor Fred up. Lord, he has been a faithful soldier for the cross all these years, active, so active in the pro-life movement, so active in all of these. And now, Lord, in his 80s, he's, Lord, we're asking right now, and I'm asking all the folks out there listening to us to pray with Pastor Fred, that, Lord God, that you might touch him, you might heal him, and Lord, for the rest of the days that you have him on this earth, that you have him here with a clear mind and a pain-free body, Lord, and that you turn his desires towards you more and more every day in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. And then we want to pray for
that.
I want to pray for Peter Daugherty. Peter is undergoing, he is one of the men of our church who had an accident, fell and messed up his leg and pretty bad. And he's going to go into surgery tomorrow. And so we want to hold Peter up. Lord, we just want to hold Peter up and ask, Lord God, that you would guide the surgeons and that you would be there with him, that he would receive a complete healing. And Lord, that you would be a comfort to him and to his family during this time too. And that he would recover, Lord, and then be used of you right up until the time you take him home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's see. You've applied for our open position for account representative?
Yeah, that's the one.
Great. I see you went to UC Berkeley.
It was really awesome. We had several sit-ins to protest oppressive capitalism.
Oh, and how about your skills for this position?
Oh, yes. I know all about how to spot microaggressions and root out privilege.
We don't really do that here. We do accounting and finance consulting.
Do you have any safe spaces?
Safe spaces?
Yes, where people can go to get away from the colonialist mentality. As long as there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, we'll be fine.
Life's too short to waste your time on bad hires. I'm Andrew Krapschatz, the CEO and founder of RedBalloon.Work. Every week, tens of thousands of reliable, career-minded job seekers visit RedBalloon.Work without all that woke nonsense. Post your open jobs at RedBalloon.Work. And if you put in promo code SALEM, you'll receive 10% off your first month's job postings.
All right.
Amen.
Well, the title of the message, Joe, is The Pulpit is Responsible for It. And there was a fellow you remember named Charles Finney. He started a university not far from where I'm at right now, called Oberlin College. Well, he said this, and he saw what we're living today. He saw this, what we're living today, coming as early as 1873. He prophetically stated in the last paragraph of a sermon titled The Decay of Conscience. And here's what Charles Finney wrote. He said, if there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in the halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, well, the pulpit is responsible for it. And Joe, we're going to take a look at each one of those that we quoted. I'm going to examine and preach on this week as we go through the scripture this week. And so let's start tonight in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, Joe. And we're going to read all the way through chapter 5, verses 1 through 9.
And so, then all of chapter 5?
No, verses 1 through 9.
Oh,
chapter
okay.
5, verses 1 through 9, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said 1 Peter 4, I'm sorry. Well,
yeah, we're going to start in 1 Peter 4, and you start reading the 1 Peter 4 and verse 7.
All right. But at the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer.
Joe, let's stop there for a minute now.
Sure.
What does that tell you, what Peter's thinking when he says the end of all things is at hand? He was referring to, he figured the imminent return of the Lord was going to happen at any moment, didn't he?
Right. The early church thought it would be very short.
Let's take these verses at a time, so, because there's so much in these. Go ahead and read verse 8.
And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins.
Joe, did you ever stop and think specifically what sins, specific sins, that charity would cover? If you look at this, I know it covers a multitude, but if you look at one, charity covers hatred. Two, what about greed?
Charity would have to cover greed, because if you were greedy, you couldn't have charity.
How about pride?
Yeah, you couldn't have a lot of pride and be charitable.
What about covetousness?
You're giving away, not wanting. So
what about
covetousness?
What about giving grudgingly?
Yeah, you can't and be charitable.
All right, let's read on. Go ahead and read verses 9 and 10.
Hospitality one to another without grudging. Hospitality, serving one another, right?
Absolutely. Over the years, well, you've stayed here with us, but my wife and I, we have hosted, and you know, my poor wife in the beginning, because people that needed places to stay that were, in a bad situation, basically on the street, homeless, at times I would take them in. Also, there were times back in the early days in the prison ministry when the inmates could not be released unless there would be some place to take them temporarily. And I would take them in, and this really worried my wife a lot, okay?
I could understand that.
But when Matt...
I had a wife that shared similar problems. Our home was open to all kinds of traveling evangelists and speakers and other people that needed shelter, and my wife was always worried. Do you know who these people are? No, but God does.
Well,
He didn't warn me not to, so
well,
we opened doors.
She allowed him until I came along, then she put her foot down. But my wife, when Matt was born, she said, that's it, no more robbers, murderers, no more convicts, and I agreed. She had done a good job, but we've had a lot of very, very well-known national known people, especially in the ministry, stay here with us. Bill Federer stayed with me a number of times. Sheriff Mack, you, John McTernan, a whole lot of very well known. Dr. Dixon stayed here several times with us. Very well known people in the ministry and government, authors, a number of authors we've had stay here with us over the years. And so, but, you know, that was our blessing to be able to use charity. But you are to have charity and you are to have hospitality. Folks, look, remember, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. People, we took people off the street that were homeless. I had a woman come. She was a daughter of a pastor. He had no place to put her. She came here with her three kids, and we put her up for quite a while.
As Jesus said, as you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me.
Yeah, so hospitality. Then he goes and he says, read verse 10.
As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Read 11.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Does God give all of us gifts?
Yes. Some he gives, several others he gives just one, but he gives everybody gifts.
So if God gives you a gift, are you supposed to say, that's the gift that God has given me, and that's the gift that I'm going to use? Or if you say, well, gee, that's not the one I wanted. I knew a fellow who wanted to be a preacher. This guy was a twin. He wanted to be a preacher, but he spoke so softly, Joey, and he had a problem when he got the least bit nervous, he would start to stutter, okay?
Stutter, uh-huh.
And when you speak softly and stutter, being a preacher might not be the best place, but that's what he wanted. But he studied, and he studied so hard, and he had an excellent ability to be a teacher.
Teacher, yeah.
Everybody told him, you know, you need to be a teacher. Well, over the years, that's what he decided. He finally, you know, he got the message and became a very good teacher. And over the years, he had more confidence, and little by little, he started preaching too. And so,
as he got confidence, the stuttering decreased, and he was able to speak up. Yeah.
Yep. And so we are to take the gift that God gives us and say, look, who knows better? Who knows better for us, God or us?
Well, I used to sometimes think I did, but I learned the hard way.
Yep. Verse 12, read verse 12.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you.
Joe, right now, the persecution of the church is greater than it's ever been. But you would never know that. You would never know that if you were listening to NBC, ABC, and CBS. You would never know how great the persecution is worldwide, would you?
No, you just don't hear what's going on. Churches are burned, and pastors have been murdered. They had their houses and farms burned, their families raped and chased out of they've been chased out of their areas. There's just so much going on, but you have to go to certain specific places or you would, like you said, have no idea it's happening.
And so here, and can we expect things to get better for us or much worse for us?
Well, God made it quite clear it's going to get worse for us. He said, you know, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And at the end, the great falling away means as the church falls away and there are fewer and fewer brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to be easier and bigger targets because we'll stand out more.
Okay, go ahead and read all the way through 13 through 19.
But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory should be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
So, you got one more verse.
Oh, yeah. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator.
All right, so all the way back 2,000 years ago, Peter understood it was time for judgment to begin in the house of the Lord. And if in that house of the Lord, it's in the pulpit where it starts, right there.
Right.
And there's where we have...
The pastor is the angel of the church. He is the head, and he is responsible for everything that happens under him.
Absolutely. And the name of that book I just read out of, by my dear friend Jay Menifee, who passed away a couple years back, was Dear Pastor, Only You Can Rescue America. And so here now, when he says this, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Joe, should that send shivers up the spines of a lot of people?
It should, but I don't know that they really realize how serious it is.
So one of the things I've preached on many, many times is making your salvation sure. Very important, most important, to make your salvation sure. Make your salvation sure. And you know, it seems like you're right. It goes right over the heads of so many people out there today. Well,
I was also thinking when we were going through that, he's talking about happy are you, you know, if you're reproached for the name of Christ. And I was thinking Matthew chapter 5:11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they, the prophets, which were before you.
Well,
some things don't change, do they?
No.
Persecuted the prophets, they're going to persecute us, and it's, like you said, is it going to get worse? Yeah. We were warned in all the Gospels, pretty much.
Okay, we're going to pick it up right here tomorrow night, right here in this passage on chapter 5. And so, right now, though, we're going to go to a break, and we'll be back right after this.
What would you say if someone decided that Shakespeare's plays, Charles Dickens' novels, or the music of Beethoven could be rewritten and improved? I'll be right back. Writing in the Journal of the Alternative, Richard Hanser, author of The Law and the Prophets and Jesus, What Manner of Man Is This?, has called attention to something that is more than a little mind-boggling. It's my understanding that the Bible, both the Old and New Testaments, has been the best-selling book in the entire history of printing. Now another attempt has been made to improve it. I say another because there have been several fairly recent efforts to, quote, make the Bible more readable and understandable, unquote. But as Mr. Hanser so eloquently says, for more than 3.5 centuries, its language and its images have penetrated more deeply into the general culture of the English-speaking world and been more dearly treasured than anything else ever put on paper. He then quotes the irreverent H.L. Mencken, who spoke of it as purely a literary work, and said it was probably the most beautiful piece of writing in any language. They were, of course, speaking of the authorized version, the one that came into being when the England of King James was scoured for translators and scholars. It was a time when the English language had reached its peak of richness and beauty. Now we're to have the Good News Bible, which will be in, quote, the natural English of everyday adult conversation. Well, I'm sure the scholars and clergymen supervised by the American Bible Society were sincerely imbued with the thought that they were taking religion to the people with their Good News Bible. But I can't help feeling we should instead be taking the people to religion and lifting them with beauty of language that has outlived the centuries. Mr. Hanser has quoted from both the St. James Version and the Good News Bible some well-known passages for us to compare. A few thousand years ago, Job said, "How forcible are right words." The new translators would have him saying, "Honest words are convincing." That's only for openers. There is the passage, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." Is it really an improvement to say instead, "The wiser you are, the more worries you have, the more you know, the more it hurts"? In the New Testament, according to Matthew, we read, "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way." The Good News Version translates that into, "Someone is shouting in the desert, get the road ready." It sounds like a straw boss announcing lunch hour's over. The hauntingly beautiful 23rd Psalm is the same in both versions, for a few words. "The Lord is my shepherd." But instead of continuing with "I shall not want," we're supposed to say, "I have everything I need." The Christmas story has undergone some modernizing, but one can hardly call it an improvement. The wondrous words, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy," has become, "Don't be afraid, I'm here with good news for you." The sponsors of the Good News Version boast that their Bible is as readable as the daily paper, and so it is. But do readers of the daily news find themselves moved to wonder, quote, "at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth," unquote? Mr. Hanser suggests that, sadly, the tinkering and general horsing around with the sacred text will no doubt continue as pious drudges try to get it right. It will not dawn on them that it has already been gotten right. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thank you, President Reagan. You were absolutely dead on. You couldn't have been more right than he was in. You know, Joe,
no,
the King
and
James...
eloquent, and it, right. Just the way he words things, construction of sentences, thought, it's beautiful to listen to.
But the King James Bible, Joe, is so far superior than to all of the perversions of the Bible. And, I mean, it is so far in every way superior, and yet people don't realize it today, and I don't know, you know, those of us that have studied it, it's as plain as the nail on your face, the nose on your face, it's just, again, in every way, so far superior. Did God give us 100 different versions, or did he give us one Bible?
He gave us one Bible. It was man that had to go start watering it down, tinkering, changing, fooling, like we do with most things.
Yep. Anyhow...
same with art. Just think, though, what it's, man's done the same thing with art and sculpture, painting, you know, music, and went from things that were beautiful, glorifying God, to things that glorify sin in this world.
Absolutely. Everything, a lot of imitations now. I wanted to just say for a minute, for you folks out in Northeast Ohio, in the lake and our Cuyahoga, Geauga, Trumbull County area, if you are looking for employment, there's a fellow named Bill who's a good friend of mine. In fact, he's a former pro-lifer, used to work with us. And he has a couple companies, and one of them is called Crystal Clear Glass Cleaning, and they're doing very well, but they're growing. The business is growing, and he is really looking for help. He's hiring people right now, and I'm going to tell you, he pays good money. The money is good. And everybody that I know that's worked for him says he's one of the best guys in the world to work for. So anyhow, if you're looking for work, and good, honest, clean work, cleaning windows, that's cleaning, right? People are hiring. Bill is hiring. So I just want to tell you, every now and then when you come against someone who gives exceptional service and that, his phone number is 440-834-0411. 440-834-0411. You know, Joe, I've been through times when we've lived through days when jobs were hard to find. Now, it's not jobs that are hard to find, it's people to do the jobs. Nobody wants to work out there today.
Around here, the same thing here. I talked to quite a few different contractors. They can't keep helpers, they can't keep people working. I know three people that are working alone that can't get help. They've got all kinds of work, good jobs. They were paying pretty reasonable wages, and none of them can find anybody that'll stay. They'll maybe work for a week and quit. One worked one day, turned around and walked off the job 4 hours later without saying a word.
Well, his bills
seen all over the country.
Bill's number, folks, again, for you folks out there that are looking for a good, clean work for and working for a guy who's very easy to get along with, it's both outdoor physical work and indoor physical work. That number, again, for Crystal Clear Glass Cleaning Company is 440-834-0411. That's 440-834-0411. He's paying good because right now, I got to tell you, he's desperate for a cleaner. He's got much more work than he has workers to do. You know, Joe, Facebook now claims that Jesus is hate speech, Joe. You know, over the years, we've had people, when we preach, when I'm preaching against different sins, and I mention those people like Joe Biden, okay, people that are like Jeffrey Epstein, people like Bill Gates, George Soros and that. And there are those that say, well, and I'm talking about prissy preachers. I mean, we've got some, I'm so really disgusted with prissy preachers that are effeminate. That don't really stand up, that are not bold. They should be out there being bold. And they'll often say, well, you shouldn't mention their names. Do you think Elijah mentioned Ahab's name, Joe?
Yes, I think he definitely did.
What do you think? Do you think John the Baptist said, Herod?
He called it out even though it brought about his death and beheading. He still preached the truth.
Do you think the Lord said, Adam, where are you?
Yeah. He kind of called him by name, didn't he?
Do you think he said to Cain, Cain, where is thy brother?
Yeah.
I think you'll find all kinds of, if you go through God's Word,
all
the Bible.
Scripture, yeah. People's, God named names, didn't he?
Well, if you go to Ezekiel 28, did not he say Ethabel? Ethabel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Ethabel thought he was a God himself, didn't he?
Thought.
Did God not...
Arranged mind, but yeah. I'm just thinking almost all the way through, it just, names were called. God called a name to it was he was talking to, called on them direct. Who was on the donkey?
Balaam, Balak. Balaam was on the donkey.
Balaam was talked to through his donkey.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he referred to him, Balaam. But many, many places all through the scripture, the Lord rebuked him. Remember what he said to, in Job chapter 1, to Satan? Where have you been, Satan? Right?
Yeah, going to and fro and, yeah.
Well, you know, all through Scripture, and if you really want to find out where the Lord really gets down, go to Matthew 23, where he refers to the religious leaders as white as sepulchers and foxes. And so here, today, they've lost the ability to call sin, sin. They've changed good for evil. There's no fire there. There's no passion in the preaching the way it used to be. There's such fear and such a dearth of courage out there today. And so
the preacher on that fake book story that brought Jesus' hate, all he said was, Jesus died so you could live.
Yep.
And they called that hate speech. Jesus died so you could live. Because, well, it upset a few people.
every day I get a whole lot of people wanting to face me on Facebook. I don't go on Facebook. I want nothing to do with Facebook, okay?
No, and, neither you know, do I.
I've mentioned that many times over the years, but it doesn't matter. Every day they keep I keep getting this message. Somebody wants to talk to you on Facebook. Somebody
safe. They can say things over Facebook and be anonymous, and you and I do things openly on the radio to the nation. Whatever we've said is recorded for posterity. We're not hiding, and they hide behind the anonymity of Facebook.
So, folks, if I were you, I would have nothing to do with Facebook. Do you know what? Who else, Joe? That I would have nothing to do with, and I haven't ever since the first time when they had same-sex bathrooms and dressing rooms, and that's Target. Target is going right downhill. Tell me about it.
Oh, have they gone downhill? First, they came up with tuck-friendly women's swimwear. To those of you that are rather innocent, tuck-friendly construction is to hide the male junk, we used to call it, genitalia. And Target has been at the forefront of woke identity politics going back quite a few years. Like Pastor Ernie said, they started out letting anyone use a restroom or fitting facility that corresponded with their identity. Now they're doing these tuck-friendly swimsuits with extra crotch and all kinds of strange things. And, well, I'll tell you, some of the women said things I can't even say on radio. There's no way I can even fake it. No real woman would be caught dead in a swimsuit like that. It's exactly what a dude pretending to be a woman would wear, one woman said. And it goes on that they're even having now Pride Collection clothing with gender identity identity slogans for babies and toddlers. So now they're having this weird stuff for babies and toddlers. And now it gets even worse. I didn't think it could, but it has. They've now hired, excuse me, Target has gone to hell to get a new designer for its Pride products. They chose avowed Satanist App Propellon, who claims Satan loves you, and better than that, Satan respects pronouns. Making Target went way too far. They were thinking that, you know, they're untouchable, or they're just so ignorant of the people out there. But among the items in the Pride line, there's now a Cure Transphobia sweatshirt, Cure Transphobia, Not Trans People. Then this App Propellon mixes Satanism with the lewd, gross, belligerent transgressives. He states, Satan loves you, respects who you are. You're important and valuable in this world. You deserve to treat yourself with love and respect. And it goes on, says, listen to this, Pastor. LGBT people are so often referred to as being a product of Satan or going against God's will. So fine, we'll hang with Satan instead. So naturally, Satan respects pronouns. He loves all the LGBT people. So now, one of the products is a pin featuring the image of the demon Baphomet with the claim to respect pronouns. And it goes on and on and on. And Target came out and said all this activism, we claim a commitment to the LGBT activism and to diversity, equity, and inclusion. They are part of our core values.
Okay, so Joe.
One line I got to read.
Go ahead.
In fairness, a Satanist seems like the perfect person to design Pride clothing line.
Oh, that's, well, we'd have to agree with him on that, because...
Boy, I would. I would never set foot in the Target store after reading who they picked to design clothes, what they're standing for, that they have the Satanist. That's, to me, crossed a line that I'm telling everybody I know, stay away from Target. It is evil itself if they tolerate that kind of thing.
Well, what do you say to people that say, you know, I know, I just heard what you just said, but, you know, Target's close by to where I live, and I don't like these boycotts anyhow, so I'm going to keep shopping there. What does that tell you about their moral standing, or what does that tell you, about their moral character?
If you shop there, you're saying you approve of the company, you approve of what it stands for, and that says a great deal about your moral standards. You don't have much for moral standards. And if you can't drive a little farther to shop at a business that just sells clothing, doesn't try to, intimidate you, doesn't try and brainwash you, doesn't try and... what's the word with the children? Groom children with baby T-shirts and things that say bad things. You are a reprobate yourself.
Yeah. I would tell them that. Boy, you really need to repent.
I would, right to your face. You shop there, you're being a reprobate because you are supporting something that's pure evil.
Right. And so I would tell them that. And, in fact, one of the things that's happening out here is there's some legislation they're trying to pass in Ohio to amend the Constitution, so child killing would be, all of the, if passed, just every bit of the legislation we passed against child killing, against abortion, would become null and void. And you've got these people that are going out and they've got their pads and papers, and one of them approached my wife, and she wished she hadn't have done that. So far, I haven't come across. The only one I saw, I went walking over there. I was going to let them know what God's Word, the Bible, have to say. And they jumped in their car and took off. Okay, I never got to get to them. But they're out there for... And this legislation also would make an open house on children, to mutilate children, to call it trans surgery, to make the where there's no age restriction at all. Wouldn't need parental notification. I mean, it's just really right from the pit of hell legislation. And so, anyhow, when I see those people out there, I let them know. I mean, I really let them know. Now, so far, I've only seen women. I haven't seen any males. And I say male, not men, because a man wouldn't do such a thing, but I would tell these women, you are a Jeremiah 2:34. You're a Jeremiah 2:34 woman. And I would let them know very clearly, look, you better understand what you're doing, okay? What you're doing, God's Word in the Bible says you'd be better off with a millstone wrapped around your neck and drown. What you're doing is an evil thing. It's a wicked thing. It's an unclean thing. And I would say it nice and loud. And if they were in front of a store, I would then go into that store and tell the people there that if you're going to allow that kind of people out there, I'm not going to ever come into this store again. In fact, I'm going to give you some good publicity on air, and I would do that because you have to stand up to this evil, to this wickedness. It's just absolutely wicked. So, by the way, Joe, did you know that you talk about stupid, Joe? And I've got some advice for people at Sports Illustrated. The woman of the year at Sports Illustrated was a man. Was a trans thing.
Yep, the woman, was not a woman.
It was ugly. I mean, really, really ugly. And so here's, if I could go to the board of Sports Illustrated to get them in a room, I would say this to them. The reason you did that is simply, and trust me on this, I know what I'm talking about, you are stupid. You are really stupid to do something like that. Now think about that. On your Sports Illustrated What has that done? Now, by the way, have you noticed lately your circulation? Sports Illustrated, it's in the toilet. It's going the way all of the woke has. Their circulations, they can't give them away now. They can't give them away, okay? Woke doesn't seem to, I guess we call it woke a dope. They don't seem to learn, do they?
No, they don't. In fact, if I could back up, Target is putting out, there's a article on Target that they're closing stores because of theft and corruption and all the robberies. I have a feeling that a lot of what's wrong with Target is not just the theft and break-ins. Yeah, in some cities like San Francisco. Oh, by the way, did you know that San Francisco has now lost 95 major stores? But anyway, Target is claiming that the reason they're not doing well is because of all the just the crime and robberies, but none of it's because people don't want to go buy, the ladies don't want to buy swimsuits with extra clothing, extra cloth in places it's not necessary.
Jeez. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, here, I've got to tell this. This came up. Give you an idea, the Biden administration, right? Remember the guy that he hired to take care of the nuclear waste that kept stealing women's luggage and wearing their clothes? We've got another one that Biden hired. His name is Dr. Dmitry Daskalakis, president of the National Monkeypox Response Deputy Coordinator. This guy went to a conference. It was called Biomedical HIV Prevention Summit. It doesn't sound bad, does it? But this doctor, quote, comes on stage wearing sadomasochistic bondage harnesses, trailed by two young men in Speedo suits. They were wearing S&M-type harnesses and crawling around like dogs. And while this was going on, they played a song, Erotica, or an ode to S&M. I won't read the words. They're kind of gross. This was a national conference put on by the National Minority AIDS Council. And it's amazing. One of the big sponsors was a pharmaceutical company. The company makes, of course, it's called Gilead, and it's immersed in the homosexual culture, but it funds all these gay homosodomite events, but it also promotes drug treatments for STD and AIDS, especially AIDS, that these type of things are disproportionately linked to men who have sex with other men. So one of the biggest promoters of the treatments for AIDS and STD for sodomites promotes all these events and promotes the activities, the sexual nature, and it just goes on and on and on. These are the kind of people that the Biden administration is now hiring in bureaucratic positions. We had the guy, like I said, that steals women's suitcases and wears their clothing, and he was in charge of nuclear waste disposal. It just keeps, you can't make this stuff up. I can't read half the stuff that's in this article. It's too gross to talk about on radio.
Well, there may be some good news out there. Best-selling author Peter Schweitzer claimed Congress is set to subpoena the records of a private cell phone belonging to Joe Obama Biden throughout his vice presidency and when he was working under Obama. And so it goes on to say that, according to Schweitzer, an email exchange from the infamous Hunter Biden laptop showed that the crackhead's first son complaining about paying his father's phone bills. Schweitzer looked into his further and found Hunter's controversial business, Rosemont Seneca Partners, paid for a private phone used by Joe Obama Biden throughout his vice presidency. and goes on to say that they located that phone number. Schweitzer told Glenn Beck it was provided to certain people, and we now understand the House Oversight Committee is subpoenaing these records, so we will actually know who Vice President Joe Biden was talking to, the time of those calls.
Oh, wow.
And I think that that could be a potential game changer in terms of really highlighting
Do you think that anybody in the Biden administration is ever going to give up that phone?
No, you know, and the FBI, there's going to be a showdown between Comer and Jim Jordan, the Congress, and Chris Wray.
And Chris Wray, yeah.
Because they have subpoenaed that file that shows Joe Biden has got absolute documentation of him getting paid off to selling America out, selling our country out here, and the FBI don't want to give it up, and they're so afraid. Yeah, well, I think Mr. Wray knows that he could be going to jail too. This is why they're absolutely paranoid. And Joe, I look for them to do everything they could possibly do, everything to keep Trump from getting elected. And I know.
Yeah, they're going to do everything they can to keep Biden in power and keep from having him impeached or go to jail for treason.
Well, they've already told him.
He's guilty of treason.
They've already told him, Joe, get back into the basement and stay there. We'll rig the election like we did before. We'll, you know, get back into the basement. And so, folks, you know, we have to really be vocal on the Republican leadership and let them know, no more. We are so fed up with election fraud. We don't want any Dominion. We want to go back to paper ballots. But we know that the only way the Democrats can win election is by rigging the election. And we're going to be watching them. And the people need to go to prison for a long time. Out there in Arizona where Carrie Lake is, even the Republican Party has gotten so corrupt, Rhino. I mean, they have gotten, they're working, they're being bought and paid for, Joe, by the Mexican drug cartels. You know, I mean, they've got to judges, they've got to out there in Maricopa County. And so, it's really bad. Hey, Joe, the new American, the Dodgers remove sacrilegious LGBT group from Pride Night. Tell me what happened.
That is the craziest story out there, because there's this group. You and I have seen footage. This group was up in San Francisco. They're called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And all it is a bunch of bearded, very masculine sodomite men who wear different outfits. They always dress as nuns, but differently. Anything to mock religion, mock God. Their motto is go and sin. Oh, go and sin more. Go and sin more. And what, make a long story short, the Dodgers first invited them to come and be part of a Pride thing on the 15th, I believe, of 16th of June, and some event. And they had invited the sisters, sisters, a group of queer and trans nuns. Most of them are just sodomites. Anyway, the pushback from religious groups and other people, the Dodgers quickly disinvited them. But then what happened is all of a sudden all the other groups that were supposed to come to the Pride event said they weren't coming, so there would be no Pride event without any of the Pride people there. So the Dodgers are re-inviting this very anti-Christian, anti-Catholic group to their Pride night. And, you know, I guess all of the pushback be darned. And so they're going to invite these people back. These people are about as sick and filthy as anything I've seen in the past, 25, 30 years?
Yeah, Joe, we're coming up to a hard break, so we'll have to be back right after this with more.
Yeah. Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.